there here in John chapter 11, I'm certain that there are things here that are at times difficult to process. It has been for me. But I'm thankful that God put it in the Word. Sometimes the Word leaves me with questions, and that's okay, because it causes me to study, to dig in. But I love it when I get an answer. And it's clarity to some things that I've questioned. And I thank the Lord for it. Father, thank you today for your Word. Thank you for your presence. This service thus far, we've felt your presence in a wonderful way. Felt the ministry of your Spirit already. And we're thankful for that. I'm asking you, Lord, to open my understanding. Give me clarity. Let me speak with clarity. Let the Word of God have free course to every heart today. Give us understanding of your Word, Lord. Father, thank you for the quickening of the Holy Spirit, the anointing that destroys every yoke. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 11, reading verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Martha which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. You have to understand that when it says when Jesus heard that, he's not hearing it from Mary and Martha. This is somebody that has brought a message to him, and he is hearing it from a messenger. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Mary and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick. Now I want you to notice he loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them. He whom thou lovest is sick. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then we come over to verse 11. These things Jesus said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps. I go that I may awake him out of sleep. His disciples says, Lord, if he's sleeping, he'll get well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Coming over to verse 27, Jesus said unto her, or she said unto the Lord. Let me back up just a little bit. So Jesus said unto her, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Then verse 40, Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. I'm going to say some things today that you might have to think about. And I'm going to start by saying this. The battles and struggles and warfare that we see and experience in the world today, it's really not about us fighting the devil. As much as you feel that it is, it's really bigger than that. Because what is really happening is it is a battle between two superpowers fighting it out. It's a warfare between God and the devil. And I don't even like to give the devil any credit and recognize him but he's a supernatural being. You have to understand that about the devil. He is the ruler of all the dark hosts. As God is the ruler of all the forces of heaven and the angels of heaven, Satan is the ruler of all the dark forces. And so everything, listen to this, everything is ultimately about worship. Everything is about worship. The battle of life, the battle in the world, the battle altogether is about worship. It's the battle over the hearts of men. Who will you worship and who will you serve? Because you will serve who you worship. So God, you have to understand this, God must be worshiped intentionally, acknowledging Him, honoring Him as your supreme King out of a heart of love. You get that. That's important that you get that. God must be worshiped intentionally, acknowledging Him, honoring Him as your supreme King, and serving Him out of a heart of love. Satan, on the other hand, does not demand or require that same love and devotion or intentionality in your worship or your service. Fear, doubt, worry, confusion, resentment, criticism, hate, jealousy, bitterness, hopelessness are all received by Satan as worship. Think about that. So the devil will create conditions, circumstances, problems, hardships, sicknesses, loss, etc., in order to get your attention and your affection away from God. And almost, now listen, almost, this is all revelation to me. Almost any reaction that you have outside of intentionally worshiping and glorifying and magnifying God, the devil will steal for himself and call it worship. Watch. So the devil will create circumstances to produce feelings of negativity, such as fear, frustration, confusion, ultimately hopelessness and despair, and he will take that to himself as worship. So here we go. Have you ever looked at a situation that had done, finished, the end, hopeless, give up, written all over it? Look at your neighbor and say, I don't think it's over.
I don't think it's over.
Look at your other neighbor and say, I say, I don't think it's over.
I don't think it's over.
So you're looking at a situation. Now listen, it says it's over. It says hopeless. It says give up, written all over it. We've all been there.
Yeah.
Maybe once, maybe more, but we've all been there. And when we look at the story in the Bible that we're reading today, we see the same situation. We see the end, hopeless, terminal, forget it, written all over it. Now you've got to walk through this process. It's going to take a minute or two to walk through this process. Mary and Martha watched their brother Lazarus as he became sick. They watched as the life drained from his body, as the sickness worsened, and he became weaker and weaker, and their hope began to slip away day by day. But they had one last hope. They had one last hope. We must send for Jesus. Jesus can heal him. Jesus can stop the plague of death. And so they did. They sent for Jesus, but he didn't come. Let's be honest about it. We've all been in the same situation. Some there right now, been praying, been believing for a change, and all that has happened in many cases is it's gotten worse. In other words, the answer has not come. Jesus has not come. He didn't show up. So now here's where the story causes a little bit of confusion, because Jesus has gotten the letter. He knows that Lazarus is terminally ill. He knows. Everybody say, Jesus knows.
Jesus
now say, Jesus loves Lazarus.
Jesus loves Lazarus.
He knows.
Yeah.
He knows. Listen now. Follow with me. He knows that their hopes are that they will come. He will come before Lazarus dies and he will heal him. He knows that. And I think we could rightly assume that in Jesus' humanity, he wanted to rush to Lazarus the moment that he heard he was sick. But Jesus said of himself, I only speak what I hear my Father speak. I only do what I see my Father do. So now we can understand his reluctance to rush to Lazarus' side. It came from him acting in obedience and in harmony with the Father's will. I believe, personally, it was hard on Jesus' humanity to not drop everything he was doing and run to the aid of his dear friend Lazarus and heal him. Well, then why the delay? Why the delay? How many's ever heard that song, when he's 4 days late, he's still right on time? Why the delay? Why didn't Jesus drop everything and run to Lazarus and heal him? The delay is for the greater glory. If Jesus, listen, if he would have rushed to Lazarus, if he would have kept him from dying, so many of the unbelieving Jews would have said, well, he wasn't really that sick. He just recovered, and it was just coincidental that Jesus happened to have laid his hands upon him before he recovered. Here's something we rarely recognize. When we're crying out for a miracle, we're crying out for a healing, we're crying out for a breakthrough, a restoration, a deliverance, our intention, our intensity, our focus are all centered upon that particular need, and we assume that since it has our full attention, that must be also where God is focusing his attention. But you got to understand, God cares about your need. God feels your pain. He feels your sorrow. But what you have to know is God is a multitasker. You want his full attention, but he can multitask. You want his full attention, but he can handle more than one thing at a time. So I need you to hold on tight, because we're going to hit a little turbulence. God's ultimate desire, you think it's to heal you, to bless you, to deliver you. God's ultimate desire is to grow us up. God's ultimate desire is to mature our faith. God's ultimate desire is to reveal himself more fully to us. And ultimately, his desire is to be glorified.
Amen.
So, we thank God. He's completely occupied with meeting our need. That's what we want. When I got a need, I want it met. When I got a problem, I want it solved. When I got a sickness, I want it healed. When I'm going through a battle, I want the victory. I want that. And we're convinced that God is there. He wants that. He's ready to do that. But you have to understand, God is more committed to growing our faith and our confidence in him than just meeting the need. So, can you prove that? I believe so. I believe so. Jesus could have arrived before Lazarus died. He could have. He could have laid his hands on him and healed him. Why didn't he? Because God was going for a greater glory.
Amen. Yes.
Jesus said, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. What? He's saying, I know he's dead. I know he's dead now. And I am glad that I wasn't there to lay my hands on him and heal him and keep him from dying, because God is after a greater glory than that. Oh, hallelujah. So, Jesus was after even more than Lazarus' resurrection. Jesus was after the resurrection of the faith of Mary and Martha. Both of them had, we believe you can heal him, faith. They both believed if Jesus would have been there, that he could have healed them. But when Lazarus died, so did their faith. Jesus deliberately waited 2 days. We look into the spiritual realm and we get a glimpse of what's happening sometimes when you pray and you don't see any change. And sometimes it feels like God isn't even listening, but he is. Everybody say, he is.
He is.
So Jesus waited for Lazarus to die in order to pull and solicit and draw out of Mary and Martha a dead-raising faith. They already had a "we believe you can heal him" faith, but they didn't have no dead-raising faith. They had, "Lord, if you lay your hands on him, you can raise him up." But they didn't have no "Lord, you can raise him from the dead" kind of faith. So that stone that they rolled over the tomb, that stone said, "We believed up to this point, but this is where our faith ended." And you may be there right now. You may be at that point in the very act of rolling the stone across the door and calling it done. But hold on. Look at your neighbor and say, "Hold on, neighbor. Hold on, neighbor. Not so quick." Let's go on. Look at this. Watch. When Jesus came, Mary and Martha did not rush to meet him with passionate living faith. They met him with frustration and disappointment and even some resentment. And they even scolded Jesus. "If you would have got here sooner, our brother would not have died." Now let's be fair about it. You'd be upset too. You'd be upset if you thought somebody had the wherewithal to fix your problem and they just deliberately lollygagged around. They deliberately messed around and fooled around until your problem overtook you and was beyond help. You would be upset too. Here they come walking in. You're like, "Oh, now you come right on. Okay, yeah, you're right on time. Yeah, I'm sunk now. Thanks for coming. I know you're coming, I'd have baked you a cake." Let me go a step further. We've all been disappointed at one time or another. We've all been disappointed at how God didn't come through how we wanted him to, or when we wanted him to. Now, if all Jesus was wanting to do today, that day rather, was perform a miracle, he would have just said, "Where's Lazarus?" He would have walked over there and says, "Get up, Lazarus." But he was after more than just the resurrection of Lazarus. He was after more. And I know this is a little hard to swallow sometimes. It has been for me. But we've got to get the revelation in our spirit. God loves us dearly, but his ultimate reason for everything he does is for his glory. Absolutely everything is that God will be glorified. What does that mean? That means he does it when he wants to. He does it how he wants to. He does it where he wants to. And he does it with who he wants to do it with. And if he doesn't do it, it's still for his glory. Lazarus is now dead. But Jesus starts speaking to them about their faith. "What do you mean faith? We put faith, our faith is done. We're done." But he starts talking to them about their faith. And the first resurrection that day is a faith resurrection, because Mary and Martha need their faith to be raised from the dead. And you may be at a place like that today, looking at a stone that says hopeless. It's over. The end. It could be a marriage. It could be a relationship between you and your children or your siblings. It could be a physical situation where it seems like sickness has ruled the day and everything is saying, "Give up, pull the plug, it's over, end of story." Or it could be a financial struggle where you feel like you're sunk and can't see any way out of the hole. And we've all been there. And maybe you're there right now. And I know this is what the devil's trying to do in your life and in our America, in our country. He is trying to paint a picture of hopelessness and corruption and despair and make things look so bad that you just roll the stone over the door and pull the plug on your faith. The devil loves, listen, he loves to see people feeling desperate and hopeless. He thrives on our pain, our anger, our frustration, and resentment. Pam and I watch an old show that they started airing again not too long ago called Emergency. About two paramedics in particular, Gage and Roy. Anyway, many times they'll treat a patient who goes into cardiac arrest. But they don't say, oh, that's too bad, we lost another one, write them off. They get out the electric paddles. And they shock their heart to get it beating again. Not always successful, but most of the time it is. Many times it is. In other words, here's what I'm saying. Many patients live because the paramedics or doctors, if you will, don't quit. They look at the screen. They look at the evidence on the screen. They see the flat line, but they don't say it's over. They keep working on the patient. Then all of a sudden something happens. The flat line jumps and something happens. They call it conversion. I hear him say that. That just like, what is that? That clicked inside of me. I thought, that's amazing. You can have been praying for your spouse or your children for years or a situation, and it may look like flatline. It may look like flatline. It may look like no response. And the devil wants you to call it done. He wants you to say it's over. He wants you to roll the stone over the door. But what you need to do is get those Holy Ghost paddles out and keep praying. Hallelujah. Because it could be just one more Holy Ghost shock and you will have conversion. Hallelujah. Conversion means the process of changing or causing something to change from one form to another form, from sickness to health, from sorrow to joy, from anxiety and stress to peace and rest, from lost to found, from bound to free, from fretful and fearful to faithful and courageous, from discouraged and depressed to happy and blessed. I'm talking about conversion. Look at somebody and say, I think we have conversion. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost says, you're on the verge of a conversion. Look at somebody and say, you're on the verge of a conversion. It may be in your household. It may be to your children. It may be your health. I don't know what it is today, but you're on the verge of conversion. Don't put those paddles away. Don't quit praying. Turn up the voltage. Come on, sometimes situations are really stubborn. They require a little more voltage. Some people are a little more stubborn. They require a little more voltage. No matter what it looks like or feels like, listen to this. Don't give the devil any pleasure. Don't give him 1 ounce of attention. Don't give him one crumb. Keep praising God. No matter what it looks like, sounds like, or feels like, keep praising God and keep glorifying God and keep your focus and your attention on God. Say it with me, I don't believe it's over. I don't believe it's over. I refuse to submit to fear and doubt, discouragement and depression. I refuse to become angry at God and critical and resentful. I refuse to give the devil one crumb to rejoice over. My hope is in God. Hope for my family, for my healing, for my deliverance, for my breakthrough, for my miracle, for my country. My hope is in God. And I don't believe it's over. Because somebody say, I said, I don't believe it's over. Now shake them and say, I said, I don't believe it's over. My Lord. Woo. I don't believe it's over.
That's right.
I don't believe it's over. Finally, there's a spark in Mary and Martha. Something begins to stir in them. They say, we do believe you're the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Well, this is what Jesus needs, because faith is the determining factor for everything. And then Jesus says, take away the stone. And Mary and Martha's faith starts wavering. And they say, but Lord, he's been dead 4 days. By now, he stinks. That's like saying, oh, okay, Lord, we got it. We believe you can do this, but to tell the truth, We've kind of moved on. He's right there at the point of resurrection. But they're afraid it's going to stink. And they're saying to the Lord, why don't we just leave that alone? We've already rolled the stone over the door. We've already let it go. Why don't you just leave it alone? Let sleeping dogs lie. Don't stir that up again. But Jesus jolts them back to their faith confession. Did not I say to you, if you believe, you would see the glory of God? What Jesus is saying is, listen, I'm not afraid of the stink. How many are glad he's not afraid of the stink? How many say that you have to admit that God had to deal with some stinky stuff when he came to look for you? I'm not afraid of the stink. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I can handle it no matter how bad it is. I can handle it. And then Jesus cries with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. I don't know what Lazarus is to you today. I don't know what it means to you today. It could be a relationship that looks like it's dead, feels like it's dead, feels like it's over. It could be your hopes and dreams for a future that you've been desiring and planning and saving for. It could be so many things. It could even be your walk with God, where you don't even feel God like you used to feel God. It feels like God is a million miles away. I don't know what it is, but what it is it is a situation that is screaming hopeless. And Jesus is saying, don't say it's over. Amen. And this is the word that I heard in my spirit a couple of days ago. I don't believe it's over. I was looking at America. I was looking at all the corruption, all the filth and all the lies and the deception. And I heard the devil whispering, said, yeah, it's over for America. But I heard the Holy Spirit, he said, it's not over. It's not over. And then he took me to Lazarus. God can handle the stink. We got some stink in America right now, but God can handle the stink. You may have some stink in your family right now, but God can handle it.
Yes, he
can. It's not over. It's not over. I don't believe it's over. I don't know who that's for today. I don't know who that's for, but this is what the Lord, I'm just the messenger. I'm just the messenger. I'm just bringing the message. I've delivered the message. You know who it's for. But I believe the reason God wanted me to preach this is because it's prophetic. Because there are some situations that are looking hopeless, and the devil is pushing hard to get you to say and agree with him and say it's over and roll the stone across the door and post it, no trespassing. But I hear God saying, if you will believe and you'll agree with me, amen, it's not over. You will see the glory of God. Woo, hallelujah. Somebody say, it's not over.
It's not over.
Say, I believe.
I believe.
It's not over.
It's not over.
Say, God is not finished. Would you stand to your feet today? I want to ask you, if you feel today God is speaking to you, and this word was for you, I want you to come join me right here. If you feel like this is a word you needed today, and it spoke directly to something that you needed to hear from God, this was a word from heaven for you today. I want you to come because I want to agree with you today. I want to agree with you for resurrection power to be released in your life and your behalf. I want to agree with you that the same Jesus that raised Lazarus from the dead can raise your situation. He can raise your hopes again. He can raise that marriage. He can raise that relationship between those wayward children.
He can bring you out of financial bondage. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. I don't understand why God waits sometimes. Except I see in the scriptures, sometimes He's working something bigger. Jesus said, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad that I wasn't there to lay my hands on him and stop it from happening, because there's a greater glory. Just lift your hands. I bind a spirit of hopelessness. I bind that spirit of grief and disappointment. I bind that spirit that tempts us, tortures us with it's over, it's over, it's done, it's finished, forget it. Roll the stone across the door, move on. Don't deal with it anymore. I bind the spirit of hopelessness and despair and confusion and frustration. God, why has it taken so long? Have you forgotten me? Have you forsaken me? Do you not care? Do you not see? Do you not feel what I'm going through, God?
There's a greater glory. There's a greater glory.
Listen to this. We're going to pray in just a minute. I've got to say this. The Bible says 6 days before Passover in Bethany, Lazarus, which had been dead, whom Jesus raised from the dead, they made a great supper. And Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only. Think about this. They come not just because Jesus was there. They came to see a Lazarus. They came to see a situation that was so dead that it had already been buried and stone rolled across the door, sitting at the table. They came. People that, listen to this. People that would not listen to Jesus' words came to see a miracle. Watch this. We're going to pray. Watch this. Watch what it says. They came that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted they may put Lazarus to death. They want to kill Lazarus, put him back in the grave. Why? Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus.
Amen.
Whoa, hallelujah. This is saying that God is setting the stage for something that will be indisputable and undeniable. Many that wouldn't listen to your words will not be able to defy or dispute the miracle that God is doing in your life. Lazarus, the miracle man, the one who was dead for 4 days, was raised from the dead, and they left believing on Jesus. I heard the Lord say, he told me to say these things. Sister Cindy, you're a miracle in motion. You're a miracle in motion. Brother Kent, you're a miracle in motion. Sister Pam, you're a miracle in motion. Sister Judy, you're a miracle in motion. Hey, man, we're here today. We're miracles in motion. God is doing something. Why is the delay? I don't fully understand it, but I believe God is working something. He is building a testimony. Hallelujah. He's building something in this place and in your life that will be indisputable and undeniable and undefiable, and they won't be able to push it away or ignore it. The miracle will be in their face. I don't believe it's over.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands. I feel the Holy Ghost. Lord, we agree right now. God, that there's miracle power and miracle life that is being released right now. That you are turning situations around that have looked hopeless and felt hopeless, Lord. And the devil has told us that it is hopeless. And the devil has told us you might as well forget it and quit crying over it and quit praying over it because it's done. But the devil is a liar. You're a resurrection God. And you bring dead things back to life. And we thank you and praise you, God. The resurrection life is in this house. It's not over. It's not over. It's not over. Devil, you're a liar. You might as well get out of here. You might as well shut up. You're a liar. It's not over. Our God is doing something great. There's a greater glory. Father, I pray for those, Lord, who have been on the verge of giving up. On the verge of throwing in the towel. Not, Lord, that they will turn their back on you, but just say, that's over. That's done. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to believe. I'm not going to reach. I'm not going to do that anymore. No, it's not over. It's not over. It's not over. In 2011, when I got very, very sick, I went through 1 year knocking on death's door, praying, God, thank you for healing me. Thank you, confessing the word, as many of you are. Lord, by your stripes we were healed. You took our infirmities. You bear our sicknesses. You were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon us. Upon him, with your stripes we are healed. Confessing the word, Lord. Confessing the word. Believing the word. And it got sicker. And sicker. And sicker. And more pain. And more pain. And more discomfort. Weaker and weaker and weaker. Lord, why are you taking so long? Are you going to heal me, Lord? Are you just going to take me home? Lord, went to church on a Sunday afternoon. Over 300 people in that sanctuary. They walked me up to the front of the church, stood me there. I was so weak. If they hadn't helped me, I couldn't have made it. I absolutely, actually was ready to leave the building. We started praying. The apostle started to lay his hands on me and just pray like he had for so many, just bless them as they went by. And then he turned to service. He said, we need to pray for this man. We need to intercede for this man of God. He needs a miracle. He needs a miracle. And all of that congregation began to pray and intercede and turn their faces to the wall. Some fell on the ground. And he cried out to God. And all I'm saying is this. Of course I wanted to be healed immediately. But it's all about his glory. Hundreds of people saw me sick. Going through the valley of the shadow of death. Sister Cindy, people watching you, they're seeing. They're seeing. God's working a miracle. God's working a miracle. Dude, it's a miracle that you're here. And yes, Shai, you're walking the miracle right now. Every step is a miracle step. Every breath is a miracle breath. Hundreds of people saw me sick, afflicted, and thought I was going to die. Looked like it and felt like it. But I can tell you this. In that same church, with hundreds of people in that same church, I preached the camp meeting in that church, and the people that saw me sick and the people that saw me on death's door saw me on the other side.
Amen.
And they saw me healed by the power of God. Amen. And they saw the glory of God in my life, and they're still seeing it today, and I'm still proclaiming it, and I'm still testifying it, because it's not over. It's not over. Oh Lord, I don't understand why it's taking so long. I don't understand why it's taking so long. I don't understand why I'm having to walk through this pain. I don't understand why I'm having to suffer. I don't understand why somebody's watching you. Somebody's looking at you. Somebody's looking at you like they looked at Lazarus. And they're going to believe what they see in you more than Jesus. They wouldn't even listen to Jesus, but they believed the miracle.
Amen.
God's putting something in front of their face you can't deny. And all where we're at is here's where we're at. Lord, I don't believe it's over.
That's right.
I don't believe it's over. You stretch your hands one more time toward heaven and thank the Lord for resurrection life. Father, thank you for resurrection life. I've delivered your word. I believe your word. I believe miracles are in the house. I believe there's a miracle anointing in the house right now. I believe there's supernatural turnarounds that are taking place in the spirit right now. I believe the stone is being rolled away right now. I believe that spirit of hopelessness and despair and fear and discouragement and resentment even and frustration, it's being rolled away right now. Rolled away. Rolled away. Rolled away. Rolled away. Rolled away. Not so Jesus can get in, but so Lazarus can come out. Lazarus, come forth. Miracle man, come forth. Miracle woman, come forth. Miracle child, come forth. Come on and praise him. Come on and praise him. Come on and praise him. I feel like something is turning today. I believe we're at a turning point. I believe we're at a turning point. Oh God, I believe we're at a turning point. We're at a turning point. Well, Shandalama, Shandalama. Shalama, 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 Oh God, I feel it, God. In the spirit, I feel it, God. I feel it, Lord. It's been long coming, Lord. It's been long coming, but it's coming. Lord, you said, though it tarry, wait for it. Though the vision tarry, wait for it. For it will come, and it will not tarry. I praise you, God. He's stretching in there. He's stretching. He's stretching. He's stirring. Life is flowing through those limbs. Blood is pumping through that body. Blood is pumping through that heart. Life is coming. Oh, Rosh Hashanah. Miracle life is coming. Resurrection power is flowing. Everybody say it with me. Say, I don't believe. It's over. Say, I don't believe God brought me this far to leave me. I don't believe He started this thing in my life and He won't finish it. I believe it's not over. I believe it's in process. I believe resurrection power is flowing right now. I believe the miracle is in motion right now in Jesus' name. Come on, give Him a praise in this house if you believe this word is true. Sister Kathy, it's not over. Sister Sharon, it's not over. Brother Kenny, Sister Susan, it's not over. Brother Kent, it's not over. Brother Kent, it's not over. This man is a miracle in motion. Every step he takes is a miracle step. No, there's no telling before you today how many times the devil has told him, why don't you just give up? Why don't you just quit fighting? Why don't you just throw in the towel? He's a miracle in motion. He's a testimony to people that are watching him. Somebody won't listen to his words, but they're going to see his life. They won't listen to his words, but they're looking at the miracle. How are you doing that? That's not human. That's unnatural. That's supernatural. That's true. It's a miracle. Everybody stretch your hands. Lord Jesus, thank you once again for this day. I believe that miracles, Lord, are in the house. Miracles are following us home today, Lord. I believe, God, that there's a turnaround that is taking place. I believe, God, that the devil is going to be sorry, literally sorry, that he messed with your children. He's going to grieve and rue the day that he threw these attacks and threw these things against your children because you are turning them around. You're even utilizing them to perfect us and mature us and grow us up and manifest your glory in and through our lives. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you because we agree with you. It's not over. It's not over in our country. It's not over in our family. It's not over. My faith is alive. Hallelujah. Let's give Him a praise in the house. Come on.